Father, we honor you. Master, we yield ourselves to you tonight. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come dwell among us tonight, to speak to us tonight in a mighty way, to encourage us, to build us up, to give us correction, to give us direction, to build faith in our hearts. Father, we thank you tonight for answers spoken from heaven upon the earth. And those answers produce heaven upon the earth. We give you praise, glory, and honor in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. You can be seated. We're just going to jump into the Word tonight. I've had so much stirring in my spirit. So I've been studying and meditating about what the Lord would minister to us tonight. And I believe it's important that we keep ourselves built up continually in faith. I really do. Because there is a demand that is placed on our faith daily. And because of this demand that is placed on our faith daily, therefore, we must feed our faith daily in order that our faith is always greater than the demand. Amen? Because our faith must be equal to or greater than the demand in order to have the desired results. Amen? And so I want us to turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I'm going old school on you tonight. I don't even have an iPad. How about that? And I got my old school Bible. You know, it's hard for me to preach faith out of the other Bible. I mean, I can do it, but this one just kind of works. So Mark chapter 11. Jesus said this in verse 22. He said, have faith in God. That's what he said, didn't he? He said, have faith in God. I like it that he told us exactly where our faith should be. It should be in God. Not in man, not in the circumstances, not in events or things that are transpiring before our eyes, but our faith is to be in God. Not in negative reports or bad reports or even in good reports. Sometimes the good reports can fool you. Our faith is to be in God and God alone, right? Amen. Have faith in God, he said. You know, I was thinking about this, that faith that fizzles out in the finish. You ever think about that? Faith that ever fizzles out in the finish, it had a flaw in the beginning somewhere. Nothing really wrong with the faith part of it, but our act in it, our part in it. And so if we don't want our faith to fizzle out in the end, then we have to make sure that we're strong in this, right? You know, the Bible, we know this, and it's good to remind ourselves of this continually, that the Bible is a book of faith. From Genesis to Revelation, it is a supernatural book. And when it is read, and the Holy Ghost takes the words that we read, and it will supernaturally be imparted into your spirit. Amen. And it will bring faith. Yes. The force of faith. Amen. Amen. And so that's why that when we go to the Word, we must go to the Word in faith and expecting that the Word that we go to give us exactly what it is that we need in this life. Learn how to speak the Word. Faith is a language. Faith is a language. Faith is a language. Amen. Faith is a language. Learn to talk faith. Learn to talk the language. Amen. Faith is the language of the Bible. It's the language of God. And when you speak God's word, you speak the language of faith. And when you speak the language of faith, then things change. Amen. Amen. Because that word that you speak, when you release it in faith, it will produce whatever it is sent to produce. You know, as breath is, think about this, as breath is to the physical body, so faith is to the spirit of man. As breath is to your physical body, so is faith to your spirit. It's life, isn't it? Amen? There's no thing that is impossible when faith is resident on the inside of you. Nothing. There's nothing that you can't handle. Amen. There's nothing that you can't handle. There's no thing that is impossible when you have the very faith of God residing on the inside of you. Because faith, we've discovered this, that faith is the fuse that ignites the power of God and causes things to explode and happen on our behalf. It's the fuse that ignites the very power of God. Isn't that awesome? Amen. To be a man of faith is to be a man of power. To be in faith is to be in power. I like to be in power. What about you? God's power, of course. So faith then, faith releases the very power of God. And the reason why so many believers live powerless lives instead of powerful lives is because we're weak in faith. So we need to be strong in faith in order to be powerful. We should be powerful, right? Yes. Amen. What is faith? Well, faith, it's not a religion. It's not a denomination. It's not a movement. What is faith? Well, faith is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of power. It's the lifestyle of God. To live and walk by faith is to live and walk the exact same way that God does. Amen. These worlds were created by faith. Everything that is seen and unseen, amen, faith created that. Amen. Amen. And so we will be people, should be, people who are known for the power of God. When we feed and develop our spirits, you will be known for the power of God. Because you see, when you're feeding and developing your spirit, faith is going to be there. And then people are going to be drawn to you to help in situations because you'll have a word of faith to speak into the situation. A word of encouragement. A strength. Amen. Not just for your own life, but, you know, thank goodness for faith. You know, it helps me personally, but faith isn't just for me because faith is bigger than me. It's for everybody else. Amen. And so let's go. Let's back up a little bit here in Mark chapter 11. And let's look at what Jesus was talking about here. In verse 12, we'll pick it up there. And I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Jesus was hungry, right? And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Verse 14 says, in response, Jesus said to it. King James, a regular King James, says he answered it. He answered it. So in response, Jesus said something to the tree. In other words, the tree was saying something to him, without using words, that warranted him to answer the tree and to give the tree a response, right? Amen? What was the tree saying? It said, I don't have anything to eat. There's no fruit here. Right? But notice this. We'll keep reading here. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Notice that. 9 simple words that Jesus spoke. 9 simple words. Very, very short. Let no one eat fruit from you ever again. He didn't work up a sweat. Right? He didn't cry. He didn't beg God to do something about it. Right? Nine simple words. Amen. He didn't yell and scream, "I curse you." Right? See, we get all weird with some of these things. All he simply said was what? Let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And it says, and his disciples heard it. Well, the tree heard it too. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you've made it a den of thieves." And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now, verse 20. Now, in the morning, as they passed by. Now, notice, after Jesus spoke those nine simple words to the tree, he went about his business. He didn't even think about that tree. Didn't talk about the tree, right? He went over and turned it over the tables of the money chambers, you know, went into the temple, did his business there. Didn't even think about that tree, right? Right? Wasn't worried about the tree. So it says in verse 20, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, here's our verse, have faith in God. Have faith in God. This is an authority scripture. Faith is always an authority. To be in faith is to be in authority. You're not trying to get something when you're in authority. You've already got it. To be in faith concerning a situation in your family, to be in faith concerning something that may be trying to attack your body, to be in faith means that you are in authority over that situation, that you have the upper hand. Finances don't have the upper hand. You have the upper hand because you're in faith. So Jesus said here, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he, what? Whatever he says. Amen. He will have whatever he says. And so then Jesus then, he gave us instruction here of what it means to be in authority, right? Regarding faith, that we should say. Learn to speak to situations. Speak the language of faith. What does the Bible have to say about this? What does God's word say about this? Right? By saying. Amen? And then he goes on to say this. Verse 24. Well, let's read verse 23 again. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Isn't that awesome? Well, the biggest insult you could ever give to God is to doubt. The biggest insult that you could ever give to God is to doubt. Amen. Then Jesus goes on to say this. He said, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. The most important thing that you could ever learn about faith, I believe, is right here in this verse. Verse 25 is that faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. You can know that faith is a language. You can know that you've got to speak the word and all of that, absolutely. But it's not going to do any good if you have an unforgiving heart. If you have hurt or bitterness against somebody, if you have something in your heart, you can try to exercise faith, but you're not really in faith because that's going to hinder you. It's a spiritual force. We know this, that faith works by love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 tells us that. Faith works by love. Love is the fuel that will propel your faith. And if there's no love there because of unforgiveness toward a brother or sister in Christ or family member, whoever it is, then your faith is going nowhere. No results. So this is probably one of the most important things, one of the most foundational things that we could ever learn about faith. And that is, faith will not work for me if I have unforgiveness in my heart. Amen. That's a big one, isn't it? Amen. So we got to make sure that we are continually keeping our heart right before God. That when things come up regarding our interactions with people, that we don't allow unforgiveness to take root on the inside of us. Because if it ever takes root on the inside of us, then it's going to hinder our faith, hinder our authority. Amen. Oh, this is good. Good, good, good. It's life. Amen. Now, let's go over and let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, I love these verses. Faith ever gets old to you, and it's not life. It's not real to you. Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 1 it says this, now faith is the substance. Notice that. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is, what is faith? The substance. Faith is a substance. What is faith the substance of? It is the substance of the things that you are hoping for. Amen. See, hope is important. Hope and faith are two different things. Amen. Hope and faith are two different things. It's important that we have hope. You must have hope. But then faith then will take those hopes when you begin to step out in faith. And faith will give substance to your hopes. Whatever it is that you are hoping to happen. It's not enough just to have hope alone. But then we begin to act in faith. And then faith will take those things that we are hoping that will actually happen to come to pass. Amen. Faith is the substance of things that I hope for. It's the substance of things that you hope for. We need to have high hopes, but we need to have high faith as well. Amen. So then faith has an appetite. It must be fed. It has a very strong appetite. If we want to thrive in our spiritual walk and our spiritual life, and then we're going to have to feed our faith so that our faith can thrive. Amen? Why do we stress so much about faith? And these things that we're talking about here tonight. Well, number one is this, and you can write this down if you're taking notes, because this is so good. Put yourself in remembrance of it. Number one, you can't be saved without faith. You can't be saved without faith. You find that in Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You can't be saved without faith. Number two, why is faith so important? Why is it such a necessary part of our lives? Well, you can't live for God without faith. It takes faith to live for God. Yeah. Amen. Romans 1, verse 17, Galatians 3, 11, Hebrews 10, 38 says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. That's us. Amen. Why do we stress or teach so much about faith? Number three, you can't walk the Christian walk except by faith. You can't walk the Christian walk except by faith. Amen. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. We walk by faith, not by sight, not by what we see. Right? Because what we're hoping for, we don't yet see. But then our faith will give substance to those things that we hope for. Therefore, we walk by faith, not by what we see. Why do we talk about faith so much? Number four, you can't please God without faith. I want to please God. What about you? You can't please God without faith. It takes faith to please God. Hebrews 11, 6 says what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. Number five, you can't grow spiritually without faith. You may develop in some areas, but you will never come into the fullness of God without faith. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3 talks about your faith growing exceedingly. Our faith needs to be growing exceedingly, right? So you're not growing spiritually unless your faith is growing exceedingly. Praise God. Number six, why do we talk about faith so much? Because you can't live victoriously and be an overcomer in this life without faith. You cannot live victoriously and be an overcomer in this life without faith. 1 John 5, 4 says that this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Your faith is the victory that overcomes this world. One translation says, brings the world to its knees. Your faith will bring the world to its knees. Whatever it is that you need in this world, it'll bring it to its knees. Your faith. Amen? So good, so good, so good, isn't it? God's word translation of Hebrews 11, 1, and I love this. It says, faith assures us of the things that we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. Faith assures us of the things we expect. It assures us of the things that we expect. And it convinces us of the existence of things that we can't see. Just because you can't see something, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Right? The Message Bible puts it this way. It says, the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Sometimes you need a handle in order to grab something, right? Your pots and pans have handles, right? Your car has a handle, right? So you can grab and you can pull to yourself whatever it is, what's on the other side of that handle or whatever that handle's attached to, right? Faith is our handle on what we can't see. So you got to reach out there. Grab hold of that handle, right? Amen. Pull it towards you. And he goes on to say this, the act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. The act of faith, or acting in faith, is what distinguished our ancestors and set them above the crowd. Amen. See, believing is important. That's a whole other message. But believing is not faith. It is a springboard to faith. It matters what you believe. Amen. But faith is an action. Faith is acting on what you believe. You can believe all day long, and nothing happens until you actually act on that and act like it's true. Amen. Healed people will talk and act like they're healed. Amen. We don't talk and act like we're sick. We talk and act like we're healed. That's our handle on our healing. Amen. The financially prosperous one. We don't talk like we don't have any money, right? We talk and act like we're rich and we're blessed and we're prosperous. It's a language. We lay hold of that handle, right? And we bring over into this realm whatever it is that we need through our faith and through our actions. Amen. Learn how to carry yourself. Learn how to carry yourself spiritually. Learn how to carry yourself, you know, when it comes to living your everyday life, you know, you're conducting business and things that are going on. Amen. You know, you face it, when you go into a place of business, people size you up. They check you out. They're checking out how you're dressed. They're checking out how you're acting, your mannerisms. They're checking out, you know, whether you act confident, whether you don't act confident. They're checking out all kinds of stuff about you. And they'll make a judgment about you in just a matter of a few seconds, of a glance. And they will make a determination of whether or not they're really going to help you, or they're not really going to help you, or whether they think you have money to buy something or whether you don't. And if they think that you don't have any money to buy something, then they're not going to help you. I'm not going to get a commission here, so, you know, why should I? Amen. But when you have a spirit of faith about you, you can walk into a place of business, man, people will chase you down. They'll fight over you to try to get to help you. That's my customer. Amen. And you don't even have to buy anything. Amen. You notice that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The way you carry yourself, the way that you talk, the way that you act. Spirit of faith. So important. Amen. Amen. You with me tonight? All right, let's read this one. This one's from the Mirror Paraphrase, Hebrews 11:1. Persuasion confirms confident expectation and proves the unseen world to be more real than the seen. Faith celebrates as certain what hope visualizes as future. Faith celebrates as certain what hope is visualizing something that's out in the future. You see, faith is now. Now faith is, right? Hope is always future. But you see, faith will bring it into the present. And it's always going to be in the future, whatever it is that you're hoping for, it's going to remain there. You can hope till you die. But faith is what takes that future and it brings it right here and right now. The force of faith, spirit of faith. Amen. The Amplified, and you know this one. I love this one. Now, faith is the assurance. See, when you're in faith, you're assured. It's the assurance. It's the confirmation, the title deed of the things that we hope for. Being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So good. For by faith, trust, and holy fervor, born of faith, the men of old had divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report. I like that. Faith is our title deed. It's our proof, right? If you have faith, and you're operating in faith, you have the title deed to whatever it is that you're in faith for, right? But I like what it goes on to say there in verse 2, that men of old had, they had a divine testimony born to them and obtained a good report because of their faith. Faith will cause you to have a testimony. You're never going to have a testimony without faith. Faith will always give you a testimony of the hand of God moving in your behalf. You'll always have something to glorify God about. Always have something to tell others about. When everything around you said no, God said yes. Amen. Amen. Oh, I like that. Amen. That's a good place to shout right there. Amen. Oh, so good, so good. So true faith will always give you a divine testimony. It has a testimony of God's faithfulness attached to it. Amen. My faith is all the proof that I need in order for God's promise to come to pass in my life. Amen. Show me the proof. My faith is a proof. Amen. Watch this. It'll come to pass. Amen. So then faith is our title deed to whatever it is that we're believing God for. It works hand in hand with hope. Absolutely. Amen. Thank God for hope. But hope cannot be a substitute for faith. True Bible hope will always cause us to have a confident expectation. Amen. That when we step out in faith, speak words of faith, act in faith, that it will produce results. Our faith gives substance to the things hoped for. So then faith then lays hold of the unrealities of hope and brings them into the realm of reality. See, if it's still hope, then it's still unreal. Faith will make it real. Amen. Faith always makes things real. Always makes things real. I like to make it real. Amen. What about you? Faith makes it real. We hope for finances to meet our needs. We hope for good health, for healing in our bodies. But faith will always give us the assurance that the money will be there at the right time, the right place, whatever is needed, the money's there. Amen. Faith gives us the assurance of that, the proof of that. What are you going to do? Well, the money will be there. The money will be there. It's always there. See, when you're operating in faith, you step out in faith, when you obey God, the money will be there. The money will be there. The money will be there. Amen. Amen? Things hoped for do not have any substance. Faith alone gives the substance to the things that you're hoping for. Hope says, I'll have it sometime. Faith says, I got it now. I got it now. I got it now. When you don't see it with your physical eyes, you got to learn how to see it with the eyes of faith. Latch hold of the promises of God. I see it by faith, and I have it now. I got it now. I'm not trying to get it. Then you act like Jesus. After he spoke to that tree, don't think about it anymore. See, the devil tries to get you to think about it. Tries to get you to worry about it. Amen? Amen? Faith will always take sides with the Word of God. Hallelujah. Faith will always take sides with the Word of God. If you're not taking the side of the Word, what the Word has to say about whatever it is that you're facing, then you're not in faith, because faith will always take sides with the Word of God, the Bible. Unbelief will always take sides against it. That's the flip side of that. Unbelief will always contradict the Word. Unbelief will always take sides against it. Yeah, but I had a sincere man of God, great man of God, done some tremendous things around the world, but he said this to me years ago. This was in the late 80s. He said something to me, and I just, man, I said, you know, I was young in the Lord, and when he said it, I mean, I didn't really know how to respond to it properly then at the time. And I just right here in your spirit, just, no, that's not right. That's not right. But he said something to me one time. He was talking about, because he'd done a lot of mission work around the world and evangelism, especially in India and Sri Lanka and some different places like that. And he said, you know, all these preachers that talk about faith all the time, he said, faith, he said, you can't eat it. He said, I got to have money in order to go do those things. He said, you can't eat it. You can't eat faith. Okay, yeah, I understand a little bit of what he's talking about. But then, you know, that just something just scratching there in your spirit. Like, oh, you can eat it. You better be eaten by faith. How much more, because he shook some nations. How much more he could have done, been so much more effective if he'd had a greater understanding of faith. How many more places it could have been reached? Wow. Trippy, isn't it? Amen? If you're talking or taking sides, excuse me, against the Word of God, taking the side of unbelief, then you're taking sides against the will of God. And we are to be praying for the will of God to come to pass here on the earth. See, all of this is connected. It is. Amen? I don't want to take sides against the will of God. I want God's will in my life. Faith enables us to receive the will of God. You'll never have the fullness of God's will without operating in faith. You'll live and die, be saved, born again, on your way to heaven, but there's so many things that we miss out on while we're here. That is the will of God for us here. We don't understand this. Amen. Faith has a voice. Your voice. Amen. And says the same thing, should be saying the same thing that God's Word says. See, faith will always say the same thing that the Bible says. Always. Always. Never say anything contrary to the Word. Now, we're okay on time here. We're doing pretty good. Let's talk about this for a little bit. There are two kinds of faith. Two kinds of faith. Just as there's two kinds of hope. Whether we realize it or not, they're both there. And these two kinds of faith is very, very simple. We have what I like to call head faith and heart faith. True Bible faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. It's not of the mind. Because your mind's going to scream some things. And you're going to have to get that mind renewed and get it submitted to your spirit. That's what a renewed mind is. A renewed mind is a submitted mind. Amen. A renewed mind is a submitted mind. And so then, two kinds of faith. Head faith and heart faith. Head faith can also be known as this, and you can write this down if you want. It's called mental assent. Mental assent. Many people can read God's word, you can read the Bible, and agree with what you read, and yeah, that's true. But they're only agreeing with their minds. You're only agreeing with your head, so to speak. And this by itself won't get the job done because you see, faith has to be of the heart. It's of the spirit. That's why you have to read the Bible and meditate scriptures over and over and over again, not just when you come to church on Sunday or Wednesday. But continually, you take verses of Scripture and you meditate on them over and over again, and you can read something and you can agree that it's true up here. But then there's going to come a day that it actually becomes alive here in your spirit. And then, wow, then it's different. It comes alive on the inside of you. And it's like it's the first time that you've read it, even though you've read it for 10 years. Or 20 years, then it's just there. It's like the light just comes on. Then the next time you step out and you exercise that faith, then things happen quicker. A lot of times people give up so quickly on things because it's of the head. You give up on tithing because it's of the head. Well, I'm in faith. Well, you might be in faith, but it could be head faith that you're in. Instead of heart faith. You give up so easily with some of these things. We can't do that. Amen? You still with me? All right. Now, mental assent. Let's talk about this a little bit more. Mental assent says, I know that God's word is true. I know God has promised healing. I know that He's promised financial provision. But for some reason, I just can't get it. I can't understand it. Where's the manifestation of this? How come something's not happening? Why isn't this happening by now? And see, if you're frustrated, then chances are you're not in faith. You can't be in frustration and faith at the same time. Faith will be at peace because it's a knowing. It's a having. You have those things that you're hoping for. You're not going to be frustrated about it. Amen? Manifestation must be in your heart, not just in your head. Amen. You must have the manifestation in your heart. Not just in your head. So good. Mental assenting to the word of God, head faith, will cause you to point fingers. Blame God, blame others, and something doesn't turn out the way that you thought it should turn out. Mental assent. Head faith. Amen? And actually, if you really wanted to get technical about it, head faith really isn't faith at all, but we're using that term to try to help us understand, locate ourselves in this. That makes sense? Amen? Because faith, true faith, will always be of the heart or of the spirit. It's a spiritual force, not a mental force. Amen? Heart faith is what gets the job done. Heart faith is what gives substance to the things that you've hoped for. So if you've got plans for a future, things that you're hoping for, these things are never, ever going to come to pass in your life until you begin to step out in faith and act in faith concerning those things. Amen. I like to hang around people that challenge me. Hang around people with, you know, spirit of faith, people that'll challenge me, right? And I'll challenge you with this because I was just recently challenged with this a couple of weeks ago. And so good, so good. And, you know, Pastor Webb was here. And he was talking about this, how you know, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, right? And all of these things, and, you know, money belongs to the righteous and all of this. And how a godly man will lay up an inheritance for his children's children. Not just for your children. And he said, Wayne, one of the keys of my life, you know, once I got a hold of this and caught this, he said, what I did was I opened up an account for my children's children by faith. So that the provision was there, the account was there. I'm already making room for it in my life. So if I want to lay up an inheritance for my children's children, I'm not going to wait for money to come in, big, large amounts of money for them to come in for my grandkids. I'm going to open up and start this now and put the storehouse in place now, because when I step out in faith and do that, the money's going to start to come. And he said, you know what? It did. And it still is. So how are you going to be able to live money for your children's children if you're not even making place for that? And when you start to do that, then you're giving God something to bless because you're acting in faith. Amen. Amen. You're acting in faith. See, faith is an act. It's not just believing about these things. It's an act. And unless you put some action with it, it's not going to happen. Amen. You got to stretch yourself. So good, so good, so good, isn't it? It's helping you tonight? Yeah. Amen. All right, all right, all right. Real faith in God's word says, if God's word says it's so, then it's so. It's mine. Belongs to me, I have it, even though I can't see it with my physical eyes. I believe the Bible more than what I see, more than what I feel. I believe what the Lord has shown to me than what the world is showing to me. I believe what God shows to me more than that. Amen. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I see in the Spirit. Huge difference there, isn't it? Amen? Yeah. And you know, I've heard people say this, and you probably have too, and maybe you've said it at one time or another, that, you know, the thing I've been praying for, it just hasn't come to pass yet. Well, of course, we're always stretching our faith for things, absolutely. Amen? But you have to be careful that you don't get caught up in the natural realm, in the physical realm. And then you begin to talk about what you don't see yet, and then gradually it begins to pull you over. Right? Because like I said, you know, we live in this realm every day that demands are required of us, that demands are required of our faith every day. And if our faith isn't equal to that demand or greater, wherever your measure of faith is at, so your faith can be increased, right? It's always going. See, faith is a currency. It means it's always flowing. It's always flowing. Faith is never designed just to come and to stay and to dam up on the inside of your heart or your spirit. It's supposed to flow. It's supposed to flow. You increase the flow, you'll increase the results of things that you're seeing. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. You got to move over into the realm of believing that you received it when you pray, And if you believe that you receive something when you pray, then it's not just a believing, it's a knowing. It's important that you believe when you receive. But there is a place beyond belief that is a knowing. It's a knowing. And I tell you what, you get in a place like that, it puts tremendous pressure in the spirit upon things and causes things to explode and happen so very, very quickly. Amen? Amen. Heart faith will cause whatever it is that you're standing and believing God for to be in your knower. Everybody has a knower. You got a knower. Amen? Let's stop here tonight. I could keep going, but I won't. I'll have mercy on you. But there's enough right there. I know some of you may have heard me preach this and teach this, and actually, you know, what I'm ministering to you tonight, these are some notes. I got so stirred up. I was looking at some things last night and praying and talking to the Lord about, you know, about tonight. And I was looking through some old notes, and these are some old notes. We call them old, but they're still alive and fresh, that I ministered over 15 years ago. But it's still fresh, isn't it? Amen? Every once in a while, we just need to stir ourselves up with these things, with these foundational principles that we can never, ever get away from. Because it seems to me, you know, like a lot of the people in the church culture, I mean, it's not popular to talk about things like this. Well, you know, that's so old. You know, we had all of that already. Well, I don't want to be popular like that. I'd rather be popular with God, because this is what gets results. I want to see results. I just don't want something that's going to make me feel good for a few minutes. Amen. I want something that's going to get me through the time when I don't feel good. Amen. To get you to the other side of that. Father, we praise you tonight, and we thank you for the privilege, Lord, sitting at your feet and receiving of this word. Father, we do receive it tonight. Thank you, Father, that faith comes. Faith comes. Oh, maka fredo husuto mashto rebite. Mokam brofrando sulibiste fredsto pakerinde. The new life comes. Nom brofrenda mokonsto pishishime. A new growth comes. Frete modo bakare bato suru mishti fifi makaba. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Mambro frete aka suru mishti fri mamakama fi. Vrondava, bombre frite mon tosturi bidre frando kushti frinti biste fefe. There's something that you need physically tonight in your body. Stand up. Let's get that taken care of. Anybody in here, you got something physical that's going on in your body, don't sit there and think about it. And if you're in faith, get up and let's take care of it.